Hey guys, and welcome back to another gathering of momentum. And thank you for joining us, to the people on YouTube and also podcast. Today, I'm really happy to have someone who I've been looking into his work for quite some time now. I'm really blessed to have him on the show, and his name is Santos Panarchi. And this guy has basically done so much research, study, and putting the pieces of the puzzle together from so many different facets of life, from religion to astrotheology to synchronicity, to so many things. He's decompartmentalized it and put it all back together in a way that you guys can understand. And he's been doing this over 30 years, and he's been studying the ancient works, researching, compiling, and translating the text to produce an easy to understand compendium of astrotheology. This information has been brought together in a network of media platforms, including YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and the Universal Truth School website. So get onto that, guys, the universaltruthschoolwebsite.com, where Santos Syncretic music and products are also available. So he's living on the east coast of Australia. Santos regularly presents seminars and webinars, and it's also presented lectures and workshops in various countries around the world. So syncretism shows how all the ancient legendary stories, myths, Bibles, fairy tales, etc., all have one simple common origin. And all these wonderful ancient classics, persona, are always the same under different names. Now, this is where we're getting to, guys. We're actually getting to a point where we're really starting to take a step back, and people are researching outside their small perceived box of reality. And this is what we have to do. We have to really get outside of just researching one thing, locking ourselves into a belief system, and rejecting all other kinds of information as they come towards us, because that's the highest form of ignorance, which is rejecting something you know nothing about. So I'd like to a big welcome to Santos for joining us on A Gathering of Momentum. And how are you, my friend? Thanks for coming on.
Oh, very well, thanks. Yourself?
Oh, really good, man. Really good. And this era we're heading into now, where people are coming online, we have the internet, and how people are waking up to all the truths to do of religion and these scenarios. How's this impacting like your following? I mean, people must be getting onto your websites and getting onto your YouTubes now, because I feel like that many years ago when you started, people would have been like heaps shy, and they'd be like, man, this information's so intense, I'm not sure if I can divulge it. Are you finding now that people are like more open to it, and they're like, wow, this is actually cutting edge?
I guess when I started early 2011 with videos, I expected backlash. I did expect ridicule, but I also expected great acceptance, because I thought, well, what I have is great. It's syncretism, and it must be accepted by the good people that are out there. It must be, because this is good. This is the truth. I discovered that truly we do have a unified system of science, knowledge, thinking, and it's based on intelligent consciousness. You know, when humans don't suffer loss of consciousness, which we are suffering at the moment, we know all this science. It's all syncretism. Islam is Christianity, is Buddhism, is Hinduism. You know, this would be blasphemous to many people, but now people are starting to wake up and realize there is all a oneness to this division. We see the interrelatedness and the things that really make us more similar than apart, as we really bought into in past times. We were really buying into the division and personality, etc. Nothing wrong with personalities and individualities and separateness, but at the expense of unity, there is And that's what we've been doing. You know, in the past, we've been doing this. Now people are starting to see. And with my material, syncretism, it's just undeniable. There is no one who is intelligent that can watch my presentations and deny them or debunk them or disprove them. And that's because there's none of my opinion. No, I don't publish my opinions. I just publish things that are out there and explain them properly. You know, you can verify everything that I've ever done. And so people watching my presentations will just have to stay virtually in judgment until I finish the presentation. And if they don't agree, they'll find that they will never be able to unlearn what they watched and undo what I taught them. And eventually they will accept that as truth, because it's the ultimate truth. It's not mine. It's just the truth that's out there that's easy to find and point to. Yeah. That's all I do.
Amazing, man. You've done such a good job of it too, so thank you very much for that. One of the other things I wanted to like basically throw in there is that the synchronism, is this also connecting with like the legal system and the court system? Is this kind of all in? Is this one big all-encompassing octopus, which its tentacles just stretch into every facet of our lives? And what you've been doing is basically going into each tentacle and uncovering it and forming it back into this big giant structure of how it all comes together. Is that kind of how it works, you feel?
Well, yes, you've explained it well, but you've used the wrong word to explain that. It's not synchronism, it's syncretism.
Syncretism, right.
So synchronism, chronos, is syncing things in time so that they work synchronous. Okay, so you meet up with John, who's going to be in that part of town when the delivery guy is driving past, and all of these hookups, that's synchronous. Yeah. Synchronicity. Syncretism is syncing things up in your head. So there's no more disunity and no more compartmentalism and division and confusion. There's no confusion. I'm not confused about any field of knowledge. You can put any field of knowledge before me and I'll be able to digest it and fully understand it. Anything. Once you have the secret and the key, which is quite simple, it's in all the sacred scriptures, and the key is they taught us that to understand God's energy and consciousness, you have to understand the number 12 and the number 7.
Wow.
And his numbers of creation. 12 is astrological. Every circle, every cycle, every ecliptic, every wave, every single action that has ever existed has an energy torus field unfurlment about it. And it's all cyclical. And those cycles complete themselves in 12 parts. Okay, so every circle, 360 degree circle, is divided into 12 30 degree segments, and that's so every sine wave, every wave of light, of water, whatever wave, whatever propagation of wave, it always will be doing an astrological expression. It will start in Aries and finish in Pisces, and this can be proven. This is how energy works, and the ancients proved it in their works. That's why every book, sacred book, is dealing with the number 12, because 12 is the full expression of the magnetic torus, rotating torus field. It's a 12-ness. It's not a 2-ness. People who believe in duality and polarity as the true expression of energy are deluded, because that's simplistic. Every wave must express itself in a 12-ness. And this is how it works. At the start of every wave, at zero point, when the dielectric and the magnetic field begin to move and create electricity, which is the transverse wave. So I would say magnetism is the spiritual, invisible, longitudinal wave. pulsing. It's pulsed like your heart. Dum dum. Okay?
Right.
And it's longitudinal. There's no speed of light there. There's no limits. It's unlimited magnetism. Unlimited. It's God. It's God force. And that still God, to make the moving God, which we call Jehovah or any other name, the creator Brahma, which is electricity, to make that, it must create the wave, the Hertzian transverse wave of polarity. And that polarity, the wave amplitude, is the space, and the wavelength, the frequency, is the time. Saturn controls time, Kronos, and Jupiter controls space, Mr. Expansion. And so these are the daddy and son who are always warring. One is a Titan, Kronos, Saturn, and the other is an Olympian, and the Olympian defeats the Titan. This is because space is defeating time, and time and space is continuing to create this transverse wave illusion, you see. And so that transverse wave is expressing itself in a 12-ness. Most people only see the positive half, the yang, and the negative half, the yin. They see red and blue, red shift, blue shift, red pill, blue pill, red siren, red blue siren, red blood, blue blood, roses are red, violets are blue. All of this red and blue is essentially the material world. The rainbow. A rainbow is clearly red shift, blue shift. You can see it right there in front of you. And that is the electromagnetic dual wave, red and blue. You look at your car batteries, one terminal is red, an anode, and the other one's blue, a cathode. And this is, and they always paint them like this. They don't use green and yellow, purple and red. It's always red and blue. Same colors turn up everywhere because that is the polarity, fire and water. It's a fire-water universe. Those are the two agents of creation, fire and water. And they are expressed in every wave. So when the Hertzian wave goes out to create things, it starts in cardinal fire Aries for the first 30 degrees. And every wave does this, every thought wave. When you think, every propagation of thought waves begins in Aries and finishes at Pisces. And it expresses 12 types of energies, four elements in three modalities. The four elements are fire, earth, air and water, and the modalities are cardinal, fixed and mutable. And all this science is astrological or energetic, magnetic, God force. So, after Aries comes Taurus, earth, fixed earth, then Gemini, mutable air, then Cancer at the Tropic of Cancer, cardinal water, then Leo, fixed fire, midsummer, the roaring lion, then Virgo, the harvest season, that's mutable earth, then Libra, the start of autumn, or tomb, the sun has to go to the tomb of winter, you see. And that's cardinal air. Then Scorpio, fixed water. Then Sagittarius, mutable fire. Capricorn at the Tropic of Capricorn down below, where Saturn rules. Satan, the cold winter. And that's cardinal earth. Then Aquarius, fixed water. And then every wave finishes with Pisces, mutable water. And sorry, Aquarius was fixed air. But every sine wave finishes with mutable water. And if you understand those elements and modalities and all the 12 energies that I expressed, I expressed 12 energies. Three times I repeated the four elements, and four times I repeated the three modalities. So I gave every element a different modality. You see, fire, I gave Aries, cardinal fire, Leo, fixed fire, and Sagittarius, mutable fire. And that's the first, fifth, and ninth sign. And the fire signs have all the beautiful numbers, the God numbers. Number one. Five, Leo, the number five, passion. The number of man, the pentagram, that's in your DNA. and 9 is the ninth heaven, Sagittarius. You see, and these are all the elements. I mean, I could go through and show you the earth ones and the air ones and the water ones, but it's, you can do that yourself. It's so easy. So when you look at astrology, you are looking at a cycle, and that cycle is 1 year. It's the sun doing a year from March the 21st at the equinox. Everything starts there at Aries, right? And then it goes around. So a day does this. An hour does this. A minute does this. Every pulse in the universe, which is spiritual, and then releases a wave, which is physical electricity or electromagnetism, which is the creator of material form, the transverse wave. Every one of these, every single action and atom that ever manifested did this. It started in Aries and finished in Pisces, because everything is a waveform. You see, where they trick us is they tell us it's a wave particle duality universe. And it's not, because there ain't no particles. So you've got to substitute particles with pulse. It's a pulse wave universe. And the particle and the particle physics and the quantum physics, that will absolutely send you down a garden path. Because not that it's wrong, but because it's 100% Jesuit controlled. The Jesuits have been running a Catholic Inquisition. They are the military terrorist arm of the Vatican papal bloodlines, like the Orsinis and the Farnesis and the De Medicis. And they have been running an Inquisition for 500 years. And the Inquisition, as it's still running today, you can go to Wikipedia, punch in the word Inquisition, and look down in the third or fourth paragraph, and it'll tell you that it had a name change in 1965, its most recent change, to hide it. And it's called, well, actually, let me have a look. It's called the Holy Doctrine of the Faith. There you go. Let me just look it up. I'm going to Wikipedia. This is how easy it is to see that the Jesuits, and they are, that's who's running it. They're running the biggest lies in history, and the two biggest lies that I will destroy if it's the last thing I do is the globe lie. The Jesuits invented it. Copernicus was a Jesuit, and Farnese, Pope Paul III, he dedicated his book to him, who was Alessandro Farnese. The Farnese family from Persia have been running the whole Babylonian slave people trafficking system for 3,000 years. I've proven it. I've exposed it in my presentations. Here I am clicking in Wikipedia, right? And so I'll read the whole paragraph that contains its new name, which is the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, okay? This is it. Except within the papal states, the institution of the Inquisition was abolished in the early 19th century after the Napoleonic Wars in Europe and after the Spanish-American Wars of Independence in the Americas. The institution survived as part of the Roman Curia. Well, the Roman Curia, which is basically the Roman Senate or the Board of Directors of the Vatican, control the whole paper system, the money, the banking, the military, everything, the Inquisition, the lot. It all goes back to these guys, okay? It says here, but in 1908 was given the new name of Supreme Sacred Congregation of the Holy Office. And then it finishes, it says, in 1965, 2 years after I was born, so it's still alive because there's no updates, okay? It says it became the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith.
Wow. Right in our faces too, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, wow.
And we just consent.
And this is how you have to do history. You have to do research with your eyes open, and then you have to face the truth, and then you have to preach the truth. This is what Plato says. Difficult and laborious it is to find the truth of God.
Yeah, wow. And history is just his story, isn't it? You know, we're just basically being fed a whole bunch of shit during school. And then we've had a lot of people grew up with religious and cultural indoctrination too. So there's like two, three or four different types of mind programming and mind control we have growing up. That's why I find a lot of people get so triggered, especially with religion, because it's been forced down their throat and their parents believe it, their grandparents believe it. And some cultures, obviously, if you go against it, you're going to get yourself into some strife also. So it's a very difficult and also touchy subject when you're breaking down like such big walls. Like I can only imagine the amount of reaction that you would have got years ago putting this information out, because my dad was an actuary and also a statistician. And he didn't even understand about the Federal Reserve. I go, Dad, you do know the Federal Reserve is not federal, it's privately owned. And he's like, I don't believe that. I'm like, man, do some research. Come on, like, you pretty much work for them. And it's so big that it's like people shut down. They go elsewhere, or they don't want to hear about it, or they block it because they're kind of happy in their little safety net. And then what I find has been happening also a lot too, people have been cottoning on to, you know, where the money's going for the tolls, the parking fines, the rangers, the fact the council is, how's the council put together? And this is like blowing people's minds. And then people are going to court, but they haven't got the ammunition yet. A lot of people are going to court and they want to represent themselves, but it's like, that's a whole nother big experience of researching, isn't it? To go into court and to, you know, do the common law or whatever process people are going to be going to do it, that's like you want to know your shit or you're going to get yourself in more trouble, aren't you?
Exactly. Exactly, like I did. I got into a lot of trouble and simply because I didn't fully understand all the presumptions and ins and outs of their system. It's very intricate. It's very, very intricate. And I have a habit of talking back and talking too much and talking myself in and then out of trouble and back in. So, you know, my own lack of understanding got me into trouble. So, yeah, this is the thing. We need to understand that this slave system goes back to, Rome is the fourth captivity according to the Jews.
Right.
The empires that have absolutely been corrupted, not that these are bad, Rome's not bad, Babylon's not bad, Persia's not bad, and Egypt's not bad, all right? I'm gonna name these empires. They're not bad. They're full of good people. It's the corporate, business, greedy, demonic, if you like, bloodlines or families that infiltrate them and use their riches and capitulate themselves, catapult themselves from that. They're empire builders, okay? What they do is they go into empires and they destroy them. You see, they suck all the blood out of them.
From the inside out.
Yeah, this is what happened to Egypt. Egypt was pure and beautiful and wonderful. So was Persia. So was Babylon. So was Rome. But these have produced the most evil empires that the world has ever known. Starting with Egypt, probably Persia, really, because their bloodlines are the most sinister. The Medici, Farnese, Aldo Brandini, Pallavicini, if only you knew what these families I've just mentioned, the leading, most powerful families for thousands of years, creators of the Jesuits and all bloody wars and murder and hatred and division and shortages on this plane to control us. If you only knew the deeds of these family, brother, you would know why I speak about them like this. Their deeds, one day, will be forever famous, and the world will never reproduce the evil that these families have generated through these beautiful nations. Egypt, beautiful, Persia, wonderful, beautiful. Babylon, you know, the astrology that came out of Babylon was wonderful. Rome, all cultures were beautiful and wonderful in the golden ages. Then these smart families who call themselves Rex Dies families, or the, you know, Mary Magdalene bloodlines, all these Jesus bloodlines, they're all satanic. They're all, they've all copulated with demonic forces. You see, they are the Nephilim. And they infiltrated these four nations. First was Egypt and the first captivity, when God's people went down to Israel, down to Egypt. And then they were captive in Babylon for 70 years. Then it was Persia, and with the story of Esther and Mordecai and the deliverance there. And then the fourth captivity is Rome. Many people don't know this. Now,
right.
Greece was the only one of note, and Assyria, but Greece is the standout of all the world empires that was not part of a captivity, although there was some persecution in the Maccabean times that was recorded by the Greeks. But Alexander the Great, basically, he was defeating the Persians and the Greeks for hundreds of years, protecting the onslaught of Eastern invasion to dominate Europe and set up a Persian kingdom, a Mithraic Zoroastrian kingdom in Rome, which they did, which eventually destroyed Greece through the back door, Rome.
Yep.
Now we have a Constantine, which was created this Christendom, an empire to fight, and rule the world, is essentially from Persia. And the Persians initially intended to launch themselves from America, Europe, Holland, England, mostly Spain and Portugal, to conquer, hence conquistador, the Americas, the New World, Australia, and all of these, the Pacific Islands, everything, the whole world, or at least what they called the globe, because quickly thereafter, after the conquistador families stitched up all the ports of the world, the Jesuits went all throughout for 100 and 200 years, between 1492 and 1692. They basically, with the East India Company and all of these corporations, they conquered the whole world and put it under the slave system of Rome. The Jesuits did that. They're still running the world. They now have a Pope, Pope Francis, who is Jesuit, and their intention all along was to create a new world order where the ruling elite families who have always been there will absolutely control and dominate awakening mankind and keep them stupid, dumbed down, enslaved, sick, poor, unhappy, depressed, medicated, and that's what they're doing. And this is why the world is in such a way. So people are subscribing to their lies. The second big lie that I was going to mention is the Jesus lie of history. You see, the Gospels, they're just Gospels. They're not history. The Romans invented the Jesus man, God, Savior, who came and will come again. You see, this coming again of this literal Jesus is the trick. Yeah, because in the meantime, they've got a beautiful Ponzi scam going on called paying taxes to Peter's pence, according to the donation of Constantine. Where the whole world will pay taxes and tributes to Rome through Peter's pence, Church of St. Peter, the Vatican. And it's a Ponzi scheme. Christ never came. Jesus never came in the flesh. Jesus comes in spirit. Jesus is in all things. You see, Jesus, this historical Jesus causes so-called Christians to kill other people because they don't love their Jesus, their Jesus, you see? And yet they do, because they are worshipping him as Quetzalcoatl, Viracocha, Buddha, Krishna. We don't need to go killing them because they've just got different names for the same Jesus. There's only one universal Jesus or Christ, whatever you want to call it. God, there is only one. Allah, there is truly only one. One source God. Okay, Christ, Krishna. They are the same individuals. Why? How do you know? Because when you read the books, you see they did the same things and they are the same archetype individual. There's no doubt about it. You cannot deny this fact. You just can't deny it. So Rome has been running a globe and a Jesus Savior is coming as a Savior. In the meantime, we're just going to be happy to sodomize just till he gets here, right? But just keep waiting, heads down, bend over, no Vaseline. And that's what the Roman families have been doing all the time. They've been creating. The Egyptians did it with Osiris. They said he's coming. The Babylonians did it with Marduk. You know, and Ashtarte, and the Persians did it with Mithras, and they brought it to Rome all the way. Rome was Mithraic all the way up until 325. When guess what? Constantine calls a council at Nicaea and convenes all the religions of the world, all of the religions of the world. And they brought all their holy books and gospels. And in the end, after beating and whipping some of them and putting them in jail and silencing some of these bishops who wanted to include all the ancient thousand-year gospels of Jesus from Egypt and India and all over the world, they settled on four gospels and canonized 66 books. 6 plus 6 is 12. 12 is astrological. Okay, so what people are doing, these good little goody-goody two-shoe Baptists, when they go to church and persecute the Pentecostals and the Jehovah's Witnesses because they're demon worshippers, because they don't read the King James Version. Well, the King James Version happens to be the same exact 66 books that Constantine canonized. Now, you may want to check that word canonize, because the book you're reading is a very, very small, manipulated, controlled fragment of all the sacred books that Constantine thereafter burned in inquisitions. Till today, you look at the blacklisted books of the Vatican, there's thousands of them still. You can go online and look at all the back today's books that are blacklisted. You can't get publishing for them.
Right.
Why?
Right.
Why? Who's doing this? Why aren't we not free to publish books? It's the Jesuits and the Inquisition and the bar that support them and the Freemasons that run with them and the Knights of Columbus and the Knights of Malta, all of them. But they're all in cahoots with the papal Roman bloodlines who are telling people that they're somehow better, they've got blue blood, and they are way better than you plebeians and you goy. But you can fight our wars for us. You can fight our wars for us anytime, and we'll make the uniforms for you too.
Mm. So do you feel that these are bloodlines that go off-world? And basically, at some point in time, they've come here, and that's why we've had this massive divide. I mean, if that's the fourth capturing, we're obviously clearly pretty far into our fifth right now, aren't we? I mean, we've been done. Do you feel this time, the way the things are, you know, we haven't actually had a golden ages in the last how many years, right? Since these times beforehand, do you feel like, what's your opinion, Santos? Do you feel like we are going to head into the golden ages through this reality? Or do you feel it's too far gone? Like, what's your feeling on this? Like, because people are waking up to what's going on, to the Federal Reserve, to the legal system, to we need to be sustainable, the hiding of the hemp and the patents for free energy and all this stuff. This is all kind of festering, and they're trying their hardest to stop this and suppress this from coming out. What's your thoughts on where we're going to head in the next few years with, you know, the artificial intelligence coming in, the merging of humans with machines? Where, fuck, we're in a pretty exciting time. Like, let's be honest, you can't think this shit up. You know, what do you feel is going to happen?
Well, they're building a web very craftily, very cleverly, very surreptitiously, in which they will capture themselves. The evil will ensnare themselves in their own traps. Okay, so they're looking pretty, cruisy at the moment. Well, at least they think they can get away with weather wars and economic crashes and media manipulation and lying to people and force vaccinating people, killing millions and millions of little babies, causing all kinds of sicknesses with children, epilepsy, and everything's on the rise. Even the older people in the nursing homes now are beautiful old folk, you know, with dementia and Alzheimer's. That's all because of the fluoride in the water. It burns the nervous system. So that's why they can't remember. The synapses and the dendrites in their cranium, in their cerebrum, are burned out. They're not supple. And so they don't make connections anymore. So they look at you with these glazed eyes and they're like, who are you? And that's your mum or whatever. And they're in nursing homes, and that's deliberate because the nursing homes also now are making money from this industry, which is old, demented people, because that's how they set it up. You see, once the old people go in, they sign with their signatures, and then the nursing homes now milk and hypothecate the signature through the bond, you see, through the slave bank system that's going on, the debt usury system. And so that's a good business now, old age business. Prisons, keep the prisons full. We cannot have them under 80%. That's not good business. There's a lot of cigar-smoking tycoons on the harbour there in Sydney that have owned the prisons. Oh, you'll find that Turnbull will have some shares in prisons. All of these criminals that are in Canberra, all of these corporate criminals that are not our government, they are an illegitimate coven of witches. They are a coven of witches and a den of thieves, and they are money changers. And you watch how when the Christ returns to clean his temple, you watch where Malcolm Turnbull will run to hide. He'll be hiding under the rocks and gnashing his teeth. That guy there, he wants to vaccinate your little babies because he's got shares in Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson, and all of those companies, they are all run by the de Medici families and the Orsini families back in Rome and in Venice, who conquered this nation that we are standing on, stolen indigenous land, and they're running a business, a corporation with their corporate flag, and it's called usury. And it's a military. It's the Roman military run out of Washington, D.C., District of Columbia. Columbia comes from Colonna. And the Colonna family, they go back to the Julio-Claudians and all the way back to Persia. They are the Columbus family. See, Christopher Columbus was Cristobal Colon. Colonna family were the family who were fighting to be popes against the Orsini family. They later became the Ghibellines and the Guelphs. And they were warring and bloodshedding in Rome for hundreds of years until a pope finally came along and by papal bull decreed that they should intermarry in their families and unite their powers and be friends. And that was the worst thing that ever happened because the Columbus family, who own District of Columbia, the military DC of the world, capital of the world, who own the military industrial pharmaceutical complex and big war machine, together with the Orsini family and the Farnese family. And there you have it. And I can name more: Borghese, Borgia, Anfili, Conti, Chigi, all of these names. And their names tell you what they're doing. Who runs the drugs? The big pharma, Medici, De Medicis. Because medical, that's medical. Right, media. Right. Who runs the media? The de Medicis. Who runs the Islamic world? The Pallavicinis, because Pallavicini means to be close to Allah in Italian. You look up the Pallavi. Sorry?
Sorry, I was just going fucking hell, like it was blowing my mind. Sorry.
You look up the Pallavicini family and put the word Islam next to it, right? Two words, Pallavicini, P-A-L-L-A, V-I-C-I-N-I, Vicini, which is vicinity. They're telling you they are close to Allah. You'll see all the leaders of Islam come from this family. How come? What's this ancient Persian family, Pallavicini, telling you that they used to worship Pallas Athena, Pallas, Palla, and Allah? They created Islam, okay? This family created it, and they run it. And who runs the Rosicrucians? The Orsini family. Tom Cruise is an Orsini. You'll find that all these actors in Hollywood, they're all Farnesis, Orsinis, Borgia, Borghese, period. There's no, and Rothschilds and Rockefellers and Morgans and Schiffs and Warburgs, they all go back to Orsini.
Right.
Farnese, De Medici, and a few others, you know, Gaetani. Gaetani was the Pope in 1302.
Right.
Who set up the fall to destroy the Templars to steal their money in 1307, and then they destroyed them. But he died before they killed Jacques de Molay. But he created Unum Sanctum, a Gaetani. Mm. These are the families. You go to Rome, you'll see streets named after the Gaetani, and they created the slave system called Unum Sanctum, the first expressed trust in history, which is the Sestwi KV trust system, which takes your soul, your property, and everything in the name of Jesus in that Trinity kingdom. Hence, the Pope wears the tiara or the trirenium on his head, the three kingdoms, which are your body, your mind, and your spirit. Government, mental. They govern everything from Rome. Through London, through Amsterdam, Wall Street, DC, they all run different departments. It's all ecclesiastical. Everything originates in Rome. The financial hub is London and Wall Street. The military arm would be Israel and DC. Okay, they work together. The families, they don't care about Israel or Arabs or any freaking anybody. They run everything behind the scenes. Through the Jesuits, okay? Forget the Zionists and forget the Freemasons. They've got no power. The Jesuits are the Jedis who rule the whole system, everything. They command it all. And everyone obeys them, even the Knights of Malta, which some people disagree with.
It's interesting. Today, that's like blew my mind. I'm still processing that. I was going to ask you whereabouts do the household names fit in, like Bayer, Bush, you know, all them ones, and, you know, Rockefellers. That's good to know where they stem back to beyond that. And I was wondering on the city today, because there's so much symbology and like statues and things all over the place in Sydney, you know, all the old Pitt Street Mall and Town Hall and everything just got, I was just taking photos and wandering around there. And I walked up to the, it's just the steps of the Federal Reserve Bank. And there's this giant statue thing out the side, and it just looked like, I don't even know what it was, you know, it was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. But the energy of the Federal Reserve, the Commonwealth Bank of Australia, all these different places that I was wandering around today, they all had the same energy. There's this funny harvesting energy going on where it's the same energy for me that if you walk into a poker machine or the casino or you walk into the pokey room, there's this addiction harvesting thick, weird energy attached to all these buildings and all these places, and these are all the ones that are connected with obviously the families that you speak of now. So do we, like I asked this before, does this go off world? Are these families, is this taking this off world and there's a bigger agenda happening? Is this, do you feel, or is it just basically a bunch of people who are missing something? There's something going on. They're obviously got only the male brain, the control, the power, the domination, that going on. Like, why is it these people are like the way they are? Why are they so obsessed with greed and pedophilia and child sacrifice and you know, satanic ritual and things like that? Like, is this being done for a bigger agenda to give energy to something that's on the non-physical and a different vibratory frequency and a different light spectrum? Or is it like, what's the scenario, do you feel?
Okay, well, first of all, the energy you feel in those buildings is deliberate, and it's Saturnian energy. It's cold and dry, okay? The vibration of Saturn is cold and dry, and cold and dry is death dealing. The opposite is hot and moist, which is Jupiterian, okay? So they make things cold. You can feel the buildings have a very cold energy. Before they used to be warm, you know, you Edwardian, your Georgian era, the Victorian buildings, they had some, you know, more curves in their windows. They have arched windows and more sacred geometric forms. You'd have more phi ratio. Now they just put up a skyscraper, you know, with glass all around it, and they think they're pretty clever. It looks like a, you know, a cold phallic, you know, representing who's got the biggest bank account, yeah, in town. So these are just the Jesuit mafia gangs, you know, just rivaling each other, and what they're doing is they're sending that Saturnian energy in through the. It's both Saturnian and Martian. If you understand Rome, you'll understand that Rome is purely Saturnian and Martian. They can't be anything else. Okay, the patron god of Rome is Mars, right? But the Latin comes from Saturn, and they say, as Virgil said, "Do not forget, you Romans, that you are Saturnian. From Saturn came the Latins." Okay, so Rome is all about Saturn and Mars. They're not about Jupiter and Venus, because Jupiter and Venus are warm and moist. Now, you can grow plants with a lot of warmness, can't you? And moisture.
Mm.
Right, so some planets, there are seven planets in the solar system. In astrology, there are four humors, and this is how you treat people's illnesses. They can be their organs. The reason they get cancer and die is through mucus, and all diseases happen because of mucus. Because why? Because the humors in the body are off. They're not balanced. The pH is not balanced, and the humors are out. So they've got too much dryness, or too much moisture, or too much heat or too much coldness. You see, when you go to a Chinese practitioner, he looks at your tongue and he says, "Oh, you're too hot." So he gives you herbs for cooling. Well, see, because that's what astrology is all about. Astrology is like this. This is the science of the four humors. You can rectify any situation, any overbalance of acidity or alkalinity in soil or your body, simply by knowing the four humors. All astrologers use this. I use it. When I do my chart readings, I look into the chart and see whether the liver's too cold or whether it's too hot, whether it's too wet or whether it's too dry, by what aspects it's making, what planets are in Sagittarius, or how Jupiter is going, because they are the rulers of the liver, right? So if they're faring badly, I know that I'm talking to someone who has a weak liver. And so you see whether it's too cold, too wet, too dry, too hot, and you subscribe some tissue salts that balance that effect. And wow, the effects are startling. You know, they're always pretty much up around 90-100%. Now, so Mars is hot and dry, and Saturn is cold and dry. Now, Saturn is the greater malefic, Mars is the lesser malefic in astrology, right? Because they've got this dryness about them. Now, Rome, I said Rome is martial. Yeah, martial law comes from Rome, okay? Rome backwards is Ram or Mars. Backwards, Rome is Mars, okay? More, amore, they say, right? But it's more is the Moorish color, which is the color of Mars, which all those words all go back to the root of Mars, okay, including amor in Italian, which is love, because Mars is marital, you see, marriage, all these words go to Mars, and hence Rome is made of marble, yeah? Mars. Now, Rome gives you the marriage certificate, Mars. Rome is marvelous, Mars. And then the Saturnian part, and see, this is why the eagle is the symbol of DC, DC and Rome, because Mars, being the ruler of Scorpio, is the eagle, and the eagle is the warlike fighting sign. It's well known that the best soldiers are from the sign of Scorpio, because they are the best martial fighters. They are very martial. Mars is the ruler of Scorpio and Aries. And so they made the best soldiers. They would put them up front. The Greeks knew in their astrology where to put their soldiers. Always you put the Scorpios in the front. They don't back down. The Aryans are also like the Scorpios, but not as daunting. Okay, so they're second in line. And then the archers would be Sagittarians, of course. Okay, the people with the daggers and the short knives and swords, these are Geminians. They're good with their hands, and Cancerians. Okay, so when you know your astrological sign, you set up an army that will not be defeated, because you put all the right fighters. Your best archers will be Sagittarian. I won't go into why, but you can work that out. Okay, Sagittarius rules the eyes, and for other reasons. And they used to know this, you see, and they used to know this science. And so what Rome does is manipulate the energy of Saturn and Mars, which is very masculine, patriarchal, and they eliminate the Jupiters and the Venuses. They know the vibration of those planets, okay, and they channel them into their buildings, and they are cold and dry. And it's very harmful square wave, and this is why people get sick in the city, and there's flus, and it's just dingy, and it's moldy, and there's people's hormones mixing with each other, and there's all kinds of parasites there in the city. It's unclean, it's unhealthy. This is all deliberate, okay? This is on purpose. And then the buildings, you see, once upon a time you'd go to a cathedral and you would be absolutely invigorated and refreshed, and you'd go there to worship Christ, you know, and be christened with the Christ consciousness. Once Christianity was a true religion, it was syncretism on the plane, and then Constantine destroyed that, made it historical, and Julius Caesar did it before that, and Vespasian did it again in the Flavian dynasty. They made these literal Jesus history lies, you see, and because it makes people dumb and stupid, because they're waiting for a vicarious savior and they don't save their own butts, you know. We are here to save ourselves. You're not going to, God's not going to come and save sinners. He's going to come and save good people. Yeah, Jesus, if he would come back, he's not going to come and save these sinners. In fact, he says, get away from me, you workers of lawlessness. I never knew you. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not do powerful miracles in your name and expel demons in your name and worship in your name and perform powerful works and great deeds? And I will say to them in that day, get away from me, you workers of lawlessness. I never knew you. These are the ones who call themselves Christians and persecute other people in their witch hunts. You know, the Jesuits have been witch hunting astrologers and good people who know this beautiful God science and syncretism for hundreds of years now. You know, they've persecuted our true Christian astrological heritage. It's Christianity is astrological. See, that's why Jesus has 12 apostles or disciples. He's always on the circuit of Galilee, upper Galilee and lower Galilee. And when you go to Strong's Concordance, it tells you what Galilee means, doesn't it? The zodiac of the Greek heathens. So Jesus, the Son, with his 12 disciples going on the circuit of Galilee, well, it's the zodiac, it's the Sun, because Jesus, the Greek God, they even tell you his name. They kindly tell you they worship Jesus, Jupiter Zeus, not Yeshua. No, we prefer the Greek from the Christian Greek scriptures version, Jesus, because that's the way it's set up. You see, Jesus had a daddy called Satan. Jesus had a daddy called Joseph and a mummy called Mary. And neither Joseph was his daddy, nor was Mary his mama, because she was a virgin and Joseph was a foster father. He weren't nowhere around, touching Mary, the virgin. So here comes Jesus all of a sudden, and he's got a daddy and a mama. And the same name, when you go to the Greeks, Zeus has a daddy called Saturn. Yeah. Sat is Set, which is Seth, which is Seth, Joseph. And his wife, Rhea, well, that'd be Maria. You see? So Jesus' daddy, Joseph, father Seth, father Saturn, old man time, Kronos, and his mama, Maria, it's the same thing. And see, you go to the Greek system and Zeus has his 12 labors, Hercules has his 12 labors, Krishna has his 12 labors. It's one system. For God's sakes, we need to wake up. You know, we need to stop buying into the Roman lie of the globe, first of all, and globalism. Hence, we're all running around doing things for globalism, global warming and global economy. Oh, yeah, we've got to keep that thing going, don't we? It's a nice thing. It's got to be, they talk about progress. What do they call it? They've got that key word in the economy, progress. You know, if there's no progress, growth, what's that BS word they keep using? It's not coming to me right now, but that's how they generate wars and scams and Ponzi schemes, and we keep buying into them. And the
stimulation. Stimulation.
Yeah, the biggest one is the Jesus lie. He didn't come and he's not coming again. If he does come in the clouds, it'll be the clouds that he was referring to, which is the clouds of the cerebrum. See? The Christ comes in your Christ consciousness, in your cerebrum. When you awaken your dormant brain cells through good practices, breathing, yoga, meditation, chanting, vegetarian diet, exercise, love, happiness,
creativity, yeah, expression,
all these music, all these beautiful things. Well, then, hello, Christ comes in the clouds, because in the head, heaven, heaved up, everything that's got H-E-A in it, head, heaven, heaved up. It's all dealing with your cranium, right? Because hell is where your heel is. Okay, so heaven is where the head is. And so everything's set up. Your body is the temple of the universe. Man is the measure of the universe. As above, so below.
And we're co-creating, aren't we? That's the big thing that people don't realize. People are giving their energy away to praying when really they're setting their intentions. So there's a difference between giving your energy away to something else and saying, this created this for me, or being embodied and saying we're co-creating with divine love and we're the reason that happened. And it's interesting. I was on a thank you very much for that information then too. That was incredible. I was actually away on a four-driving expedition up at Cape York, and this family came through, and they're a family of Christians, and they went through this big water hole, and we're all parked there, and basically their big Land Cruiser Prado thing was completely submerged. We pulled them out, emptied the car out, did all the checks on the engine, took the computer apart, washed the computer, fixed this, that, the other. And then our mate came over, who's basically a plane engineer. And he had this cord, this wire he made, and he reset the computer and got them going. And then she goes, oh yeah, Jesus made that happen. And we're all just standing there going, really? So maybe we just wheel the car back into the water and we'll sit there and watch you get out of that situation. And I was like, that to me was really disempowering for us, because God's inside us and we help them, and that's, you know, God was there because we were all part of the love and part of creation. But it was like she just totally just said, when driving off, that Jesus did that. And I was like, wow, man, like, come on, like, That's pretty heavy to say that your whole life revolves around a fictional, not a fictional dude, but I guess it's a word to describe it, scenario. So what would be the best videos you feel, Santos, or the best, what would be the best starting point for people who are starting to question their beliefs and just want to expand their awareness? What would be the best videos you could think of your collection or other ones that people could start from and they could start getting it, wrapping their head around it? Because obviously if people start getting their head around this, everything else is going to fall into place. If people start doing the practices, like you just said, the meditation and things like that. Like, I had no consciousness until I started meditating. And then as soon as that started, within 2 weeks after that, my intuition was like, you're going to get busted about 5 times in a row from what I used to do in my previous life here on Earth. I had this synchronistic scenario pan out 5 times in a row that's prevented me from basically being put in prison. And then I was like, right, something's going on here. As soon as I've started meditating, there's this second voice now coming in and giving me information. And then obviously I started going away from the meat. I started looking into books. I started becoming more aware. Like, what do you feel is the best things they could look at to get them awakened from religious indoctrination?
Well, look, I'd just say click on any one of my videos, because it's all syncretism. And eventually you're going to have to watch more than 20 or 30 anyway, because there's volumes of stuff. They're all different. There's no repeats. There is no repeats. And some of the gems that I've deposited in those presentations, you won't find them in other presentations.
Right.
And they will be great, great quotes from very ancient and wonderful books. They will be resources and references, because my presentations are not just me. They're talking about, you know, this, that, and the other. I'm referencing books, reading from books, quoting them, referencing them, citing them, sharing them, and they are rich with gems. And you know what? Every one of them come from periods when I was reading certain books, and so I would introduce that into those presentations at that time.
Right.
So they're done. I haven't repeated those from 2011, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Now I'm doing them much more succinctly and much more concisely. And so I would say, for people who want to understand, because you're asking the question from the point of view of that woman who said Jesus made it happen. Now, it's good that she's thinking about Jesus. It's great, because we should be. You know, Jesus is consciousness, is we, is you, is everyone, is the whole universe. And it is. It's the soul. Jesus is the soul of the universe. Christ is the spirit of the universe. Okay, there you go. That's exactly how it is.
Right.
Christ and Emmanuel is the body of the universe. That's why Jesus has three names: Christ Jesus, and he was also named Emmanuel. Well, Christ is the spirit, okay, and Jesus is the soul. So that means everything, the trees. Jesus, it's good that this woman loves Jesus, but not a man who came down to wear nappies in Bethlehem and then grow up and burp and sneeze and yawn and tell people about, you know, God, which we're already told thousands and thousands of years prior, and then had to be murdered and hunt down and killed, and God does that. And that's how God does stuff. I mean, look, those Constantinian 66 canonized books, if you do wish to read them and choose not to read all the other Gnostic, wonderful Egyptian gospels of the Nag Hammadi and the Dead Sea Scrolls and all the other gospels that have ever been written for thousands of years prior to Constantine's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and should you wish to read those only 4 books, and you understand that you're reading a gospel, not literal history, okay? A gospel is not literal history, okay? Let's get this right. If you're reading a gospel, well, that's a gospel, okay? It's a gospel. Now, gospels are tragedies. The Greek word is a tragedy. So when you go to the theater, you see a tragedy. Because why? Because the Lord is doing well at one moment, at the next moment, a tragic turner of events, and it's a tragedy, and he's crucified. First he was, you know, first he was doing well. He was preaching to all the poor and healing, and everything was going all right. He got baptized. He's hanging out with tax collectors and drinking wine, going to the festival of Cana, turning water into wine, you know, getting transfigured, hanging out with his disciples, smoking a joint here and there, and talking about, you know, all his nice transcendental experiences, and then he gets crucified. Oh, well, that's a bit of a tragedy. Yeah. Well, that's what gospel is. If you're reading a gospel, you're not reading history. Jesus is not a historical real fact. Jesus is a truth. Huh? The Bible is a book of truth, even though even the canonized ones of Constantine, I've got nothing against them. I like the King James Bible. I have it and I read it. It's all good. Everything's good. Okay. So, and the Bible says if you want to put judgment on something, all is good to those who are good and all is evil to those who are evil.
Totally.
And that's in the scriptures. Okay. So what we can do is we can now grow up and learn that all is interrelated, and we don't have to kill each other anymore, because that guy's black and the other one's yellow, and they're the wrong color and the wrong height and the wrong gender, and one's a faggot or all those words, you know, those labels that go on and on, a lefty and a righty and so we can get rid of all this. We can get rid of it all. You know, we are all Christ incarnated. Christ came in the flesh. Yeah, not one flesh. It didn't say Christ came in one flesh. You know, it says Christ came in the flesh, because Christ, the spirit of the universe, generates Jesus, the soul of the universe, which generates Emmanuel, electricity, hence the electrical world of matter and polarity. And so we have, this is good. Now we can reclaim Jesus, you know. So that woman can now, she can begin to see that Jesus is not stuck in history anywhere, you know. Jesus is eternal. Mm. And it is our Lord Buddha, Krishna, whatever you want to call it, you know. Quetzalcoatl, the conquistadors, sent by the Farnese and the Borgia family, who created the Jesuits, by the way. They killed the Incas because they called Jesus Quetzalcoatl, and destroyed their books and decapitated and decimated their culture. Then they went to the Incas and destroyed them because they called it Viracocha. Then they went to the Mayans and killed them because they called it Kukulkan, you know. Well, dang. Gee, I mean, in Italy, I call my car macchina. When I go to France, I call it a voiture. When I go to Spain, I call it a coche. When I go to Brazil or Portugal, I call it a carro, you know. But they're not going to kill me and get offended if I say, hey, this car is fast. You calling my carro a car? I'm going to kill you, you dumb idiot. Uh-huh. They went there, they just possessed them, dispossessed these people and claimed their land and killed them because they called Jesus Quetzalcoatl, and they had Quetzalcoatl crucified on a cross as well on the 25th of December, and Viracocha and Kukulkan. This is how stupid they are, you know. The Jesus freaks. You know, Jesus doesn't like this and that, and what? He doesn't like coffee, according to the Mormons or the Seventh-day Adventists. I forget now. And one says you can't have blood transfusions, and the other one, yeah, you can go and fight and kill other people. Others, like Seventh-day Adventists, say no, you can't, but you can serve in the military, in the medical branch. But all these Christians painting a different historical Jesus. Did he have a beard? Was he black? Was he Jewish? Yeah. He looks pretty blue-eyed, golden-haired, Zeusy to me, Jesusy there, Baal. Baal, you're looking a bit golden-haired, a bit Teutonic there with the blue eyes, Jesus, or should you be looking like a Galilean? on the circuit of Galilee, on the zodiac with your 12 disciples, Jesus, because some people have got you painted black in Ethiopia and in the Middle East, baby black Jesus, you know. And but I see a blue-eyed, golden-haired, red-haired one sometimes. You see the red-haired one? Because it's not historical. If it was historical, he would have written something and said, hey, guys, look, you know what? I'm God, and I've just come down here to wear some nappies when I was a little boy, and now I've learned how to wipe my own bottom now, and I've grown up, and I do some poetry, and I'm going to write you some gospels about me life so you can follow me because I'm God. I'm going to get crucified, but before I do, you'd think, yeah, well, it'd be pretty wise to write something down, wouldn't I? Wouldn't it if I just came here, hung around for 33 years and didn't write squat? So tell you what, yeah. I'll write a letter or two for you. Nope. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing from Jesus, because JC is Julius Caesar, and Anno Domini, Dominus, is not Jesus. It's Julius Caesar. And their calendar is our God. Because we go to their events when they say, turn up on December the 21st, 2016, please, we're having a wedding. And you go to that date fixed Roman Julius Caesar Anno Domini Jesus Christ calendar. See, that's the history, Jesus. That's who it is truly, Julius Caesar. It's they're laughing at our faces, these Mithraic empire builders from Persia. They are laughing at our faces for how we have believed in this ridiculous folly of a historical vicarious savior. I mean, Giovanni de' Medici, when he became Pope Leo X, he said, how long will this pestilent, upstart, stupid church persist? And his forerunner, Borgia, who sent the conquistadors over, he was heard saying, it is well known how this fable of Christ has brought us much profit. And these are the families who own the Christ story of Jesus. And what they did was they actually usurped the true Jesus, which was eternal, and put him in a timeline and gave us a calendar, Anno Domini. Yeah, it's 2017. Yes, that's 2,000 years since our Lord came to the earth, because that's his calendar. Surely he must have been at the end of that calendar there somewhere, right there at the start of that JC calendar. Surely, yes, we believe that because there's so much evidence, isn't there? I mean, Tacitus wrote one sentence about Christus, and Pliny the Younger wrote nothing about Jesus, but they say he did. And Josephus the fraud, the Flavian, Flavius, who mentioned nothing of Jesus, nor anything that he did. And the other one was Suetonius. So they've got these four historians that they say, we have evidence that he did live on the earth, and he originated that nasty calendar that has caused so many wars and profit for the elite families. And so you go online and look up and ask the question in your browser, and seriously spend a few hours, okay? Do some due diligence, okay? And ask in your browser, historical proof of Jesus, ancient writers. Put those words in, okay? You know how to be a good detective when you want to find something, okay? Yeah. So why don't we all say now, okay, let's put an end to this this Jesus persecution and inquisition that has been going on, this tax-paying Ponzi scam, right? Yeah. By going to court with these four books of Suetonius, Pliny the Younger. You'd never even go to a civil court. You'd never go to a low magistrate's court with four documents like that as your affidavits of proof. You put that in the evidence file to give any proof of, because there's nothing in there. They don't say anything about a historical person. Yeah, Tacitus says, oh, in the days of Christus, when one of the Caesars, I think it was Tiberius, expelled the Jews because Christus was stirring up. That's not Christ, and that's not Jesus, because Jesus was not even in Italy. You know, they killed the story goes that they killed him in the Middle East, you see. So this Christus, Put it this way. Those four documents, you cannot walk into a court and walk out and win with proving your case that Jesus lived. And that's all they've got, okay? Whereas you've got Plutarch, who wrote 88 books, The Oracle of Delphi, whose footprint historically was the same time as Jesus, mentioned nothing of Jesus, but and yet he mentioned all the philosophers who ever lived. In fact, he was one who did the biography of Plato. He did all the greats, the Plutarch. This is 2,000 years ago when Jesus was walking around. Didn't include Jesus. He included Apollonius of Tyana, Paul, the Apostle Paul, true name. He included, Aristotle. He included all these names of great minds, Jewish names, all of them. He even included his friend over the waters in Alexandria, Philo, the greatest Jew scholar in history. He's hanging around there on that side of the Mediterranean. Jesus is over there. Philo wrote a tome, a volume of historical works of Jewish wisdom, beautiful works, marvelous works. And Philo Judaeus didn't mention Jesus. And yet, historically, Rome gives us these four writers, which are absolute frauds, nothing else at all, and we're supposed to believe. Look, we need to put an end to this persecution of this Jesus freak show, okay? Number one. Number two, there's no spinning globe. We're on a stationary horizontal plane. The Copernican Revolution was a revolution in stupidity, utter stupidity, and the world has gone mad. And even he was a Jesuit. They've gone mad after him, this Jesuit. Nicholas, Saint Nicholas is his real name, yeah? Nicholas Copernicus, Nick copy Nick. And his buddy, Galileo Galilei, Gilgal, that's demon. Okay, so Saint Nick is the devil and Galileo Galilei is the demon. They were Jesuits. Okay, they made the globe so that they could imprison us and keep us in their sphere of influence. Huh?
That's such a good start and such an amazing way of explaining it too. Like, thank you so much for putting it out there. And the way you have, and for people who want to know what YouTube to go to, should we just Mr. Astrotheology? That's Santos's YouTube. And is this also pertain for like Islam and other religions which have come after Christianity? Is it basically like another stepping stone and another one's being created to divide up more people because each section of the world needs their own person that they can believe in? Like, is this kind of what's happened to Islam and Buddhism and the other major religions we have now? Is that also just like a stepping stone on to another platform?
Well, they have also been corporatized and usurped and co-opted by the Jesuits as well. Islam used to be a beautiful astrological, syncretic, eclectic worship system that the Arabs and all those Middle Eastern people had for thousands of years in Egypt. They worshipped Isis, the Arabs, until supposedly a historical Muhammad came along. This is the thing. The Pallavicini, as they funded Copernicus, and as the Constantine people made a corporate fictional Christianity and usurped the true one, the people of Islam, they need to also know the roots of their true religion, which is this holy science of astrology, and lose all the historical supposed prophets that have turned up. The real name of Muhammad is Shlomo... Lomar Schmalfus or Lothmar Schmalfus. Anyway, Tony Bushby exposed that. He was a disgruntled, ejected cardinal from Rome, and he was from this family, the Pallavicini, and he created this corporate Islam. See, they've been corporatized as well. And so, and they've been steered by this mechanism, you know, their governing bodies, and they've got a historical perspective to their domination. They are patriarchal. It's a patriarch system, you see. They're murdering the ISIS. See, Islam, ISIS, is murdering the is in Islam. And in Catholicism too, you know. God, the boy God is better than his mother, Mary the Virgin, who used to be better at one state, at one time, you see. Why was she better at once and now the boy God's better? Because, see, the Godhead I'm trying to get the right word for the Godhead. It's a Trinity. It is a Trinity. But the Krishna Radha Godhead, it's in the East, it's Krishna, Radha, Balaram, okay? And we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in other systems, there's the Father, the Mother, like and the Son, like Osiris, Isis, and Horus, etc. There's many of these trinities. So they know that God is not just a boy. You know, they know that the other half is the feminine half of God, and they know also that God has a neutral aspect as well. The three genders, and that's the Trinity. And so what they've done is they've unbalanced the Godhead. They've removed the woman. You see, now the woman has to wear a veil, and she's all dejected, and she can't do things in public, and she's different now. She's, you know, not as man can do anything, you know, he's okay. Yeah, he doesn't have to wear a veil and bow down and be submissive. So this is unbalanced. This is rotten. This is what a horrible way to treat our women. This is totally inverse. It's a satanic religion, you see. It's Saturnian. So they use the energy of these two archetypes, and they've created a cold, cruel, martial world. You know, the bar is the rabbis backwards, you know, the rabbinim, the children of Ra. Ra means evil in Hebrew, the children of evil, rabbi, you know, and the bar, and that's who the bar are. What they're doing is they're running an ecclesiastical star chamber of Satan. They're judging people, putting young men and women in jail for parking fines, for instance, right? When they got me, I did some time in a maximum security jail. For what? Well, the original sum of tolls that were owed was $1,400. And I can say that because I have the bill. And they, in the media, they it went to it well with their system with putting penalties and whatnot, they blew it out deliberately to $135,000, and then they went on the media, right? And you know the history there, right? What happened in 2004, 2005. And I was in jail, right? There were criminals in there, maximum security, on medication, killing each other. There were suicides every day for $1,400 for some tolls that were eventually, most of them, were going to go to one family, the Salteri family, who are from the Roman bloodlines, as all the the owners of this plantation are. We're going to go to their pockets. So I went into a maximum security jail for 2 weeks. Now, ultimately, they will be rewarded for that. They will be recompensed for that, and hundredfold. They will never escape the evil that they did on that occasion and many, many times through their slave system, these rabbi, these bar rabbinim, children of evil. And they work under the Jesuits, and the Jesuits absolutely control and run everything, everything. Okay, they look like they're really good and poor and nice, you know, and into science and teaching people, indoctrinating people, indoctrinating how to love the religion of death and killing and to hate life. And they are sick. They are demented. They are sick and demented and evil and nasty. And their days are numbered. Their days are numbered. People are onto them now. There's not much that they can do that they don't get exposed immediately, instantly. All their false flags, people are laughing at them now. So I don't know what game they're playing at, because they're actually even laughing at themselves. You know, their media puppets are tripping themselves over with all kinds of conflicting witness accounts, and everything's upside down, and it's a freaking circus. These people are absolutely intoxicated with power, and they don't know what to do. They are absolutely demonic. But we will smash them, brother.
Yes. And this is the information, the stuff you're putting out, that will tear it down, because we live in a world now of instant access to the internet, and we still have control over the internet, even though a lot of it is censored, and they're trying to slow people like yourself and us down with Facebook algorithms and YouTube censorship and demonetization of certain platforms. But I feel like it's too far gone now. I feel like the rock has been pushed off the hill, and now it's just gaining momentum, and it's unstoppable. And it's really nice to see people who, say, 3-4 years ago were questioning a lot of stuff that I was putting out there, you're putting out there. Then they come back and like, hey, can you send me some information about like natural cancer cures? Or is it like, oh, have you got that video about, how to get our parking fines? And now it's like, the information's out there. You guys have put this information on the internet. It's out there. It's into the ether, and people can go on there and do their own research. And it's like, people put comments on posts on Facebook like, oh, what about this? And it's like, man, type in YouTube. You don't have to even do much. You can go to YouTube and just type in whatever it is, and you'll get a good understanding of what's going on. So I think they really did fuck up by giving us the internet. I don't think they expected us to connect so well and to smash the narrative to bits. And like, even that false flag attack that happened in Vegas, even the most non-believing people who don't even really go to 9/11 and things like that in their conversations are like, yeah, there was something fishy about that. There's definitely a couple more shooters. So they don't have to know the whole narrative and the fact that it's a CIA drug weapons running or, syndicate. They don't need to go down that route and things like that. But just the knowing that it's not believing. And when I was sitting today, I sat in front of Channel 7 for a while, one of our Rupert Murdoch propaganda media organisations here in Australia. For people out there on YouTube or podcast who don't know what Channel 7 is, it's basically your CNN, your MSN, just the sewage stream media just vomiting lies and agenda the whole time. Vaccinate your kids. Terrorists are coming. It's the scarcity. We've got power shortages. Everything's fucked. The world's terrible. And I was sitting out in front of that, and I was like, yep. And I was just feeling it. It was the same energy as in front of the Federal Reserve, because Martin Place has all these big buildings like Citibank and HSBC and Deutsche Bank. And I was just wandering around going, look at this place. Go, look at the money, the absolute tremendous amounts of money that these people have spent on these buildings and these big statues of themselves and the whole layout. And in my mind, just like I'm envisioning like vines and trees and Mother Nature coming back and just growing everywhere, and this whole built society kind of crumbling down and then coming back into nature prevailing, humans unifying, people waking up to religion. And not, I don't mean waking up and it's like your life's over. It's like waking up to like, hey, let's embody some new information. There's a lot of information coming out now that's making everyone question things. So like, let's be open to it. Let's not have a half empty cup and not allowing more to go in. We want to have our cup half empty, not half full. And this is the first step. This is the first step, is going, all right, okay, I definitely can't say my religion is the only one if I haven't researched all the other ones, or if I haven't gone into this sort of information that Santos and other people are putting out. So for people out there, I know there's a lot of information in this YouTube and this podcast, but this is basically the entrance now to some information that's going to change your view on life. Because let's be honest, like when you're buying into religious indoctrination and you think that you're going to burn in hell and you think that all this stuff's going to happen to you, it's a fearful way of living. And fear is the biggest frequency lowering vibration on the face of the planet. When you're in a state of fear, synchronicity doesn't happen. Signs and signals and things from the universe don't come your way because you're sending out a fear resonance, a fear response. You actually bring in more fear. You bring in more people who are in a state of fear, and like attracts like. So to get out of that state of fear, to get out of that state of duality where it's them against us, my religion against your religion, blacks, whites, Christians, Muslims, whatever, if we can come back to a center point and understand that we're just little human beings, we're here on this rock, we're in Earth school. We've come down to Earth school to learn, to evolve, and it had to be this crazy. It had to be this out there, otherwise people wouldn't have woken up. If we had a world that was just all lovely and people were just getting along, people wouldn't be pushed into a situation where they are now, where it's like, choose. You got to choose. Are you going to wake up or are you going to stay asleep? You have a choice. You can be the full spectrum of evil and you can wake up and realize what you're doing, and then you can become that light. You can become that expression of truth and love, and you can turn it all around. So what a great world that the Creator has created for us, that we can see the good and the evil and everything in between. Every person that comes into our life, they're a lesson. People like Santos, they're here to put out some profound truths that's going to shift and alter the trajectory of your reality and the fiction behind what we've been told. And what we've been told, let's be honest, there's not much truth out there. I didn't learn anything very useful in high school. Primary school was just a whole bunch of indoctrination. And you know, look at the children's television shows that are on TV now. Like, it's actually scary, these cartoons that are on television and what's going on. And I really feel like the way that humans are going to come back into being human is the simple things like we spoke about before, getting into nature, getting into the trees, planting trees. I always say to people, like, yeah, you can do all the posting you want on Facebook and things like that. That's great and that's good. We should do that. But we need to take a little bit of action in the real world. And like, for example, a beautiful friend of mine, he gave me 500 seeds from these books that I'd tell people to read called The Ringing Cedars of Russia. And I have the seeds from the Ringing Cedars are from the Siberian forest. And I give people a seed and I give them a pot and I go, hey, take this. And when people haven't planted a garden before or trees or anything like that, just putting a seed in the soil and then watching that grow, there's something profoundly organic and beautiful about nature and about growth and about seeing a little seed grow into a big giant tree that then is going to release more nuts and seeds, and then they can be planted, and continuously we can regenerate this globe. And the gardens, the yoga, the meditation, getting into the ocean and going out and selflessly helping other people and being that expression of truth, these are the solutions, guys. The spaceships aren't coming, you know, the saviors aren't coming back. We're here to learn, we're here to evolve. You can save yourself by simply shifting your way of thinking, by shifting the way you treat other people, by the little things you do each day to make a better world. Because in the end, the outer world is the inner world, and everything's connected to our gut. Everything's connected to our heart-mind connection. Everything's connected to drawing in that vital life force and upgrading our systems, upgrading our level of awareness. This boils back to meditation, pranic energy healing, like chi energy transmission, getting in and drawing that energy in, using that ether, that vital life force, which is all around us, and connecting to all things that are organic. Because in the end, we're organic little beings. We're little nature babies who should be running around the bush barefoot, connected to the earth, swimming and singing, dancing, learning, evolving, and learning off our neighbors. Like, what a beautiful time now to go and hang out with a whole bunch of people from different countries and different religions and different places, and then come together and throw our knowledge together and then come to a common goal and go, hey, maybe we should stop fighting each other and we should fight the small amount of parasites that are here on planet Earth. And let's put all of them together. There may only be 20,000, 30,000, 50,000, I don't know. Not a very big number of these people who are here trying to destroy things. And there's 7.1 or 3, whatever it is now, billion people on Earth. And that's what they're afraid of. If we unify in this time, if we come together in a place of love and stop buying into the news, stop buying into the media, we start reconnecting with our higher self and using that intuition to make our decisions, we're not gonna have a world the way it is today. This is gonna fall apart really quickly. People are just gonna say no. Parking rangers are gonna do some research and they're like, I'm actually feeding the tyrannical system that is enslaving me. Maybe I'm not gonna do this job. Maybe we should change things. We're gonna have politicians who are gonna go, all right, I'm actually not into pedophilia, so I want to make some change, and I've come across some information that's actually blown things out of the water. I want to do something that's going to leave a legacy. I'm not going to do my four-year term to try and get my pension and not give a shit about the environment, about my children, about my grandchildren. So this is up to you guys out there. It's up to you to talk and connect with people on a human level. Give them the information. Do it in a loving way. Simplest things, like I say to people, you go down to the coffee shop if you're into coffee and drugs, whatever. Say to them, hey, why don't you sell organic coffee? All these little tiny things are the awakening for some people. Someone might just start selling organic coffee, then people will start looking into why would you buy organic coffee? Then they're like, oh, maybe we should get organic food. And this is a slow change. The wheels are turning, and it's the small seeds that you plant every day which is going to have the biggest outcome in the end. You know, the whole world's not going to wake up tomorrow, but if we gradually take steps in the right direction, we're going to see a place in the next few years that's going to be vastly different to what it is now. We have all types of free energy devices sitting in the US Patents Office. We have people at home making these clean, green energy devices and plasma generators and, you know, hydrogen things or whatever. There's so many out there. The military has many, many devices that can be given to us and gifted to us. So then we need to talk to people who are in the military, talk to our friends who are in the army, talk to our friends who are in the police, and go, hey guys, it's not you against us. We're just here trying to work this together. Can we have some unity? Can we band together for a change? I'm sick of fighting. I don't want to fight anymore. I want to have a world of peace. I want to have my brothers and sisters around me and living with people in a place of love. So yeah, thank you so much tonight for Santos. That was very inspiring, and like even just in this interview I learned a lot that I didn't know. There's so many names I'm going to be researching now and I'm having a real good look into, and I really feel that this information is the keyhole. It's the keyway to expansiveness. It's also the keyway to not being in a state of fear, religious indoctrination and death and all this crap that comes with this religious indoctrination. So thank you very much for that, my friend.
Yeah, look, thanks for having me, and yeah, I'll be more than happy to join you another time. So I just want to finish on a interesting side note. You mentioned you were in Martin Square.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I used to busk in Martin Square. Uh-huh. And the Pitt Street Mall.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and for 6 months I was there in Sydney, living in Bondi Junction. And weekly I was going to Martin Place. That's where the Matrix, where the is it in the Matrix movie where the woman in red is walking past the fountain? Yeah, well, I used to play right in front of that fountain, right where the woman in red walks, right? Right. Now, you were talking before also about the cold buildings. Now, that place, Martin Place, is very, very cold. It's very Saturnian, okay? The banks are there, yeah?
Channel 7, yeah, the Federal Reserve, the Commonwealth Bank of Australia. Yeah, it's all just the big players in a row, like dominoes set up, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's also cold, isn't it? You notice it's colder there always. In when it's hot, you walk through Martin Place and it's got a coolness about it.
Yeah, I went into just to go use a toilet in Martin Place Bar just quickly, and I walked in and the woman was like, "Can I help you?" And I was just walking through the toilet. I was like, "Yes, I'm just going to the toilet." Like, for instance, it was like, "You're not using the toilet. Your simple needs are not going to be met here." Then I came out and I was looking at the menu, and the guy's like, "The specials are up there." I'm like, okay, cool. And then he's like, "You need shoes on too." And I had like a little bit open thongs, and I was like, wow, okay, this is like the most interesting entrance I've had into a place in a long, long time. But then I looked around at the people's faces sitting outside who are eating their lunch and the energy, and I'm just walking through there vibing like, yeah, looking, this is great. I'm in the city. And I looked around at all these people and I just felt sadness. I felt a bit of disconnection and just whatever was going on with these buildings. I was just in the middle of this web of treachery, you know? So that was kind of a weird experience for me today on the energy of that area.
Yeah. Well, it can be described as cold and dry, which is the two humors of Saturn, and Saturn's the only planet that has both both humors that are negative. Mm. And Jupiter's the only planet that has both humors that are positive, hot and moist, you see. So just think of your plants. Hot and moist is good. That's Jupiter, right?
Yep.
And when you want to grow plants, cold and dry is not good, right? It kills the plants, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, that is Saturn. That is Satan. I'll leave it on that note.
Thank you very much, Santos. And what's the best place for people to contact you and your website, and also anything else that they can get in contact with your stuff? Just give us a bit of a shout out and we'll end it on that.
The website is universaltruthschool.com, and there's lots of goodies in there, man. There's a whole university. You can be stuck in there forever. There's so much information now. It's been revamped. My niece and her partner did a great job revamping. It looks really good. And then you can go to Syncretism University for free at my YouTube channel, Mr. Astrotheology. Mr. Astrotheology.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thank you very much, and we'll hopefully see you again.
Yeah, thanks, Neil. Catch you next time, brother.
Bye now.
Take care. Bye-bye.